Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Yes. Morena, Kirsten.
Good morning.
Hi, Kirsten. I'm so excited about this week's Travelling Tunes. We're doing shoegaze.
So, and you know a lot about shoegaze? Do you feel like you're an expert?
I wouldn't say I'm an expert. I'd say I'm an enjoyer, like a passionate enjoyer. But
I like that. I'm a passionate enjoyer.
I'm an enthusiast,
I'm
if
an
you
enthusiast
will.
Of shoegaze. But I do know this one random fact, but I don't know if it's true. Is it called shoegaze because they're always looking at the ground
guitar
to, like,
pedals.
Fiddle with all their pedals?
Yeah. And, you know, we often talk about who makes up these genre names. And apparently, it was an insult from, so this was made up by the music press. I don't know, like, we think a lot about the music press anymore, but they used to have a lot bigger impact, you know, like in the music. And they literally, there's two British magazines, Melody Maker and NME, New Musical Express, that were quite powerful for a number of decades. And yeah, they called it that. Now, later, they became darlings of the press. But yeah, it did, from inexpressive, looking at their effects pedals 20 times in a song. Now, I don't know if everyone knows that electric guitars don't actually make any noise unless you plug them in. Mm-hmm. And you can plug them through these little boxes on the floor that you press with your foot.
Yes.
To add distortion or add flange or to add these sort of different sounds. And apparently these guys were just, you know, off and on with all these different sounds, looking down at their shoes. Mm. Although I heard a really bad one on the shoegaze Reddit. It says it's because they're homophobic and they're saying shoegaze.
Oh my god,
that was so bad. Such a shoegaze joke.
Oh, yeah.
Go away, you gays. Oh my god.
Terrible. So, the early days of shoegaze, when did it kind of, like, begin? Because I know there was a real peak over, like, the 1980s.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, it says the late 80s, and I guess with all these genres, too, as soon as we put, like, a date on it, heaps of people go, no, but there was blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, definitely the 90s, and I would say BFM was a big shoegaze player.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would agree.
And what's funny is because, you know, they're calling it an underground music, but it became, you know, really popular. But I guess one thing was talking about that it's underground and it was like in opposition to punk. So it was less angry, you know, less aggressive. So it was still tried to have this underground, non-mainstream vibe. But
a bit more accessible.
It wasn't punk. Mm. Yeah. And as we know, like, indie, which literally meant like you're on an independent label, became like really popular. And alternative, which was like, yeah, you're alternative to mainstream rock, became very mainstream. So, you know, these words are really funny that we use.
Mm, totally. Which song should we start with?
Well, let's start with My Bloody Valentine.
Mm. Oh, this album just turned like 30 years old, which is just crazy to me. Right?
Well, yeah, it came out when I was a baby. I'm just kidding.
This is one of my favorite tracks. This is Sometimes from My Bloody Valentine.
You can have
We were just chatting off air that I guess there's quite a broad spectrum of sound within shoegaze, and I always feel as though My Bloody Valentine tends to lean on the crunchier end of the spectrum.
Yeah, you can definitely hear. Okay, this is a genre where there's so many words about it. Mm. But this song seems to fulfill all the words: intense, immersive, dreamy, introspective, melancholic. Someone said makes you feel like you're on drugs. You can hear the effects pedals, and then the vocals are lower, like you're really not focusing on the words.
I was just saying
noise that, rock, but atmospheric was another one.
I was just saying to Rosetta, I've got plenty of friends who kind of have like a problem with buying pedals. Like, they're not cheap. You ask them to go out,
addiction.
And they'll be like, no, I can't. I've just bought a pedal, another pedal.
Oh, gosh.
It's like,
yes, I used to work in a music store. I felt sorry for people. Oh, no, my partner's going to kill me. No. So this song, so talking about being underground and being sort of dissed by the music press, later the music press fell in love. Mm. This band, they called it, the album it came from, a great searing citadel of beauty. I mean, this is the objective press. Endless vistas of melody and emotion. I mean, they loved it.
Mm. Mm. I think shoegaze as well, it's a great one because I just make up the words to sing along. Like, you can't
Cocktail really. Twins is good for that.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. Our next track. That's what they were talking about it. Now, here's a weird fun fact. One of the things I was reading said the natural one of outcomes of this music was Coldplay, that Coldplay started as shoegaze. And I'm like, what? But then I guess you can hear it sort of taking this and putting it in back into that mainstream, I guess, sort of stadium rock that it was against.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, now I've ruined it for you. I know you're all going to hear Coldplay when you hear it.
My heart did just break a little.
Some of that early Coldplay is not too offensive.
No,
early Coldplay.
Coldplay Defender. Oh, I'm not saying.
But I guess the point is that it had such an impact, you know?
Yeah.
That the bands after it couldn't help but have heard it, you know?
Yes.
So this is Cocktail Twins.
Cherry Colored Funk, such a classic. Millie's gonna make up the words off air, and then we'll reconvene.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, Elizabeth Fraser, what a voice, eh?
Oh, yeah. So this band was Scottish, like the last band, too, which is interesting. But this band was a couple. And honestly, reading the story of it was just like, you know, reading one of those music biopics, you know, a couple, and then they broke up, and and rehab and psychotherapy, you know, it just reads like that sort of classic story. But yeah, she ended up singing with Massive Attack. She was this Mortal Coil, which had another amazing track.
Yeah, she's pretty talented. Have you ever heard that song she did with Jeff Buckley?
Oh, devastating.
Oh, yeah.
No. Okay, I'm going to go have to... Well, maybe that's a nighttime song.
Oh, yeah. If you're in the mood to cry tonight. It's a beautiful song.
Apparently, this song's been sampled by The Weeknd, and he named another song after them, that he loves them.
Oh. Okay, Weeknd.
I know.
Someone said BFM used to play Coldplay, and so I'm going to have to backtrack, and it's okay.
Take that,
it's okay to
you
be
guys.
An early Coldplay apologist, Rosetta.
I'm not saying No, you know what? I'm not going to defend myself.
Well, and apparently had a big influence on grunge, too. You can hear it. Obviously, grunge has got this sort of a little more masculine, aggressive to us. But, like, yeah, for such kind of a small pocket thing, it seemed to have such a massive influence back in that main trunk of rock.
Mm. It's a really fascinating genre. I just love it so much.
Mm-hmm. We've got a Verve song to play us out, Star Sail. Tell us a little bit about this track.
Oh gosh, here's another review. The guitarist paralyzed and unearthed us with his haunting, echoing guitar.
So extra.
And there's the goosebump inducing interstellar space drone section at 1 minute 34.
Awesome, looking forward to that.
Yes, very much looking forward to that.
Okay, so this is shoegazing shimmer for you.
Wonderful.
Incredible.
Hey, thank you so much, Kirsten. Another great Travelling Tunes. And how good is shoegaze, eh?
That's right. Don't look down.
Don't look down. Have an awesome rest of your week and your weekend. And we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.